Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about Sweet Nothing from Midnights.
And today, we are discussing our first tea song, Teardrops on My Guitar from Taylor Swift.
Yes, as those of you who listened to our last episode know, we were going to discuss Sweeter Than Fiction from the soundtrack to the movie One Chance, but it was released as a bonus track for the Target-exclusive Tangerine vinyl as part of 1989 Taylor's version.
Ridiculous.
Since we don't own a record player, and it's not on streaming, we will not be covering Sweeter Than Fiction until it is on streaming, similarly to how we handled Hits Different.
Yes. And it is funny because in our last episode, we were talking about how Sweeter Than Fiction was the last song, or one of the last songs, for her to have a Taylor's version of from, like...
Right,
that wasn't from an album, a studio album that was from something else.
That's not owned by Disney, which is crazier.
That's maybe one of the last ones. Anyway, and that was funny. And then it's just like, oh, all of a sudden, a listener was like, don't you know that Sweeter Than Fiction is going to be an exclusive Target thing? And we're like, what, really? And then here it is.
Yep.
On the Tangerine vinyl.
Ridiculous. Also, like, an exclusive on a vinyl, so it's not like you could even upload it onto your computer to listen to it digitally anywhere.
So, all right. Trying to make record players come back.
I mean, she's been doing a great job of it. I've heard a lot online of people who own vinyl of all her stuff, but don't even own a record player, which is super funny. Wow. Like, just a collector's edition stuff. Yeah, but no, we don't own a record player. We have nowhere in the house to put it. No room for it. So
here we are on Teardrops on My Guitar.
Yes. So we're starting with T, and then we will be hitting the vault track starting next week, every other song interspersed with our alphabet.
As per usual.
Per usual.
Teardrops on My Guitar is the third track on Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift was released on October 24th, 2006, and this song was co-written by our gal, Liz Rose.
Our girl. Teardrops on My Guitar has been played live 292 times by Taylor.
Wow.
Most of them were between 2006 and 2010, and her most recent live performance was on the Eras Tour as a surprise song on May 5th, 2023 in Nashville, and... she played it on the piano, which I guessed correctly that night.
That was such a thrill.
That was like the biggest thrill of our lives. We were sitting there waiting and she starts playing
the piano. Wait, before you get to that part. So Dev guesses on our, you know, on our little reels, he guesses Teardrops on My Guitar on the piano. And all of you guys and our followers on Instagram start giving Dev a hard time.
Like, ugh. On the piano?
Teardrops
like
it's called, on My Guitar on the piano, Dev?
It's called On My Guitar. She's going to play it on the guitar.
And we were cracking up about that.
Yeah.
And then we get to, we're watching the surprise songs. And mind you, this is May 5th, so we're still pretty early in our guessing
game. Very early
on,
yeah. Yeah, this was like the best one. And and she starts playing the piano, and then she starts, Drew looks, and we both freak out. And so, like, it's Teardrops
really
on My
exciting.
Piano that
we
night.
Screamed so loud. We were like, oh, God, I hope our neighbor doesn't, like,
I think I, like, lifted you up in the air. Like, it was insane. The adrenaline that we felt there, that was crazy.
Teardrops on My Piano. That was a very exciting night.
Fantastic. Yeah. Great night.
So, Devin, what do you think about Teardrops on My Guitar?
This song is so famous, so nostalgic, and that intro is just immediately pulls you into nostalgia world. Like, it's
it does.
Instantly. Even for someone who wasn't a Swiftie early on in those days, you know, this song was everywhere on the radio. Like, it was in the malls. Mm-hmm. It was everywhere. And I think it was extra famous for me because my brother, named Drew, who you will all know from the Mean episode, thought she wrote the song about him. So he was like, oh yeah, don't you know, like, Taylor totally wrote this song about me? Because, like, my name's Drew, and so, it's obviously me. Like, Taylor loves me, guys. So, so funny. I think Gossip Gab, though, will say otherwise. That it is not about my brother. That it is about some other Drew. This is such a fantastically crafted country song. It has a clear storyline, a hummable melody, an incredibly catchy chorus. It resonates deeply with her main fan base, and it is so relatable and also wildly replayable.
Yeah.
It doesn't get boring. Like, mm-hmm. it is a slow and simple country song, but the way that it's crafted with the melody and the changing of up of the chorus and everything, it is very replayable, and mm-hmm. that's why I think it did so well on the radio. I'm constantly floored by how good the songs on her debut album are, yeah. and that, like, that was her first album, and that those were some of her earliest songs that she wrote, and just, like, where she is now, and it's just how she has written so many good songs, yeah. even from the beginning, and there are some really fantastic songs on that first album, and I think that this is one of them.
Totally.
Nathan Chapman's backup vocals add so much to this track as well. Their vocals always sound so sweet together. Mm-hmm. They mesh so very well, and I think that that was an incredible addition to her team very yeah. early on. Taylor's vocals here are super emotional too, and you can really feel the pain in the words.
Yeah.
The way the melody works too, like, it requires her to belt at the end of each phrase, which are actually, I think, some of the more important lyrics. So she starts off very slow and lovely with the "Drew looks at me." It's very quiet and very subtle, but towards the end of each phrase, the "she's got everything that I have to live without," so she has since it goes a little bit higher in her register, she actually has to belt it,
yeah,
which puts then more emotion behind it,
yeah.
And same with the "I wonder if he knows he's all I think about at night,"
yeah,
both of those are I think the more important words and more important lyric, and they require more emotion, and that then requires a little bit of a belt, and it's really, really interesting, because the way that the melody works, it requires, like, she has to do that yeah. in order to get the sound out that she wants. Like, if she went down, if she went like, "I wonder if he knows he's all I think about at night,"
yeah,
like, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
So the melody is genius here, I think. I love the last time through the chorus, too, with the "only one who's got enough of me to break my heart," how she switches it up there.
Mm-hmm.
I love how she sounds there, too. Her vocals there, like, there's this sweet spot that she hits on "break my heart" that, like, sounds extra, just like, it's, like, really, really, really nice. I love this song. I think it's simple, sweet, and an incredible early entry in her discography. It's yeah. no wonder she got the jump start that she did with this song, with Tim McGraw, with you know, our song,
yeah.
"Picture to Burn." There are some songs on this first album. It's just like, of course.
Yeah.
You know, looking back.
Totally.
Gab, what do you think about "Teardrops on My Guitar"?
"Teardrops on My Guitar" was actually the second Taylor Swift song I ever heard.
Wow.
Yes, after our song. It was also on a mix that my friend Jenny made me, because I was driving her to and from rehearsal, so she made me a mix in the car. I had my license pretty early, so I was big on the carpooling. I agree with what you just said, is that this song is just so important in Taylor's musical rise. Mm-hmm. And this was actually her first song to cross over into pop radio. So it was where more than just country audiences were hearing it. So though those other songs also were a huge part of that as well, this one really was the one that crossed over, that a lot of people started hearing and talking about in a different way. Eventually on the deluxe Taylor Swift album, they also had the pop version.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of that version, but it did get it out there in a different way where it could be played and played and played on the radio.
Yeah.
I think it's a key song and moment on the Taylor Swift trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that image of just, like, teardrops on her guitar, like, that's just truly iconic.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, no one had thought of that before in that way is just, it's iconic. And, it's, like, it makes so much good. Sense. I think the song has just, like, clear, relatable teen storytelling, and it really instantly connected Taylor to her audience, mm-hmm. which was such a huge part of her, you know, her gaining such devoted fans and holding on to them over the years.
Yeah.
And also just telling this teen storytelling, which wasn't really going on in the same way. You know, like, teens at the time were singing about a lot more, like, adult themes, mm-hmm. not necessarily crushes in the same kind of mm-hmm. relatable high school level way like Taylor was. So this, like, was also just so niche and key for her cultivating the fandom that she did. It also just, like, really solidified her as a fantastic songwriter. You know, lyrics like, "he's the song in the car, I keep singing, don't know why I do," mm-hmm. and "the only one who's got enough of me to break my heart."
Mm-hmm.
Like, That is such a solid song and such solid lyrics for a 16-year-old and probably earlier having written it. And it really stands the test of time, this song. It does. And that's so impressive. And so many people, like peers of Taylor's, or even songs she could have written in the like last whatever 15 years, like this stands up with them. It's absolutely amazing. I agree with you that like Taylor's young vocals here are very like raw and emotional, but I can't lie that I think I'll enjoy listening to it with her more mature Taylor's version's vocals more eventually, which I actually think is not a common opinion. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are feeling worried about like losing that raw nature.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of those belts that she hits at the end, you just think like she could give more. She couldn't then, but she can now. And like especially that "And Maybe Get Some Sleep Tonight" where she hits that big one. Mm-hmm. I think that could sound so much better with where her voice is now.
Yeah.
I do love the raw nature and the teen nature, and I don't know if I'll ever fully, like, be able to give up listening to Debut, because I feel like it won't sound fully the same. Who knows? We're going to wait and see, but it's hard, because, like, obviously it's going to be the biggest gulf of an album.
Yeah.
Some of the hardest parts listening to this album in some ways is, like, oh, you know where her voice is going to go and be able to get to.
Yep.
You know? And then... The only part of this song that I still can't move past and that I really, really can't believe that Liz Rose didn't help change is the lyric, "Keeps me wishing on a wishing star." Like, really, guys? Like, really? Like, "Shooting Star" was right there. Mm-hmm. Or any other lyric, really? That lyric always makes me laugh. It's like, really, you're wishing on a wishing star? Like, how about "Keeps me hoping on a wishing star"? Keeps me, like, as a teen girl and a child who wished on every star, like, I was such a believer in starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, I wish I might get this wish I wish tonight. Hopefully that's not copyrighted. I don't think it is.
I don't know. We'll
I was such out. A believer in that, like, literally, I would, the first star I would see, I'd make a wish of whatever I wanted at the time. Usually it was that, like, my crush would like me back. Like, I was that girl. Like, that's in this song, "Wishing on a Wishing Star," right? But, like, come on. Wishing on, like, you know, wishing on a northern star. No. Wishing on a shooting star. Wishing on a golden star. I don't know anything that's two syllables. That always...
Wishing on the brightest star.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, starlight, star bright, first star. Like, anything.
Yeah.
So, that line, I'm like, really, guys? There were two of you working on this song? You didn't... Like, maybe Taylor really, really fought hard for that lyric.
Yeah. She's like, no, this is the crux of the
song. If I ever meet Taylor, I'm going to ask her, did you fight hard for "Wishing on a Wishing Star"?
Yeah.
So that one always kind of cracks me up. I can't help but laugh. I kind of love it in its innocence now, you know? But yeah, I think this is just such an important song. It really stands the test of time. It's what you said. It's so replayable. It's so listenable. Yeah, and it's just a huge part of the Taylor Swift pantheon, if you will. Devin, do you relate to "Teardrops on My Guitar"?
Oh, heck yes. This song is relatable. Are you kidding me? Everyone had a Drew in their early high school years, quote unquote. You know, that person who is, like, just out of reach, who might not even know who you are, who, like, is, you know, the person that sits next to you in English class, and then you, like, read, you know, a Julius Caesar together one time, and and that was it. Like, you were smitten from then on. Mm-hmm. But, like, they'll never think of you or speak to you again. Because once you're done with that English class, you never have a class with them again, and who knows? But like, they're all you can think about, and you're like, oh my god, what if? Mm-hmm. And they could have been the one. Mm. And if only we had read another passage from Julius Caesar together, maybe they would have seen... I don't know. But totally. Like, it's that person that, like, you think you're supposed to be with. And, like, they are the most beautiful person ever. And yet, like, you'll only be able to think about them. Teardrops will fall on whatever instrument you're writing your song about. On, you know, the piano or the ukulele.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or, so, teardrops on my violin. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Gab, do you relate to this song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this song is so relatable. Like, anyone who had an unrequited crush, which I think is, like, all people, probably.
I'm pretty sure.
Especially in high school. For me, there was an older boy in my math class in high school that I, like, totally, totally had a crush on. And, like, I would, like, flirt with and text with. And then I found out he had a girlfriend who lived in California. And
wow,
I was
long distance
totally
in high school.
Totally crushed. Yeah, I think they, like, went to camp together something. Yep. I was so crushed and I was so embarrassed because I, like, really thought I had a chance. Mm-hmm. She likes him and she thinks she has a shot. And then he tells her about, like, you know, the girl that he has a crush on that he likes that he's going to pursue. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just what happens. And you're like, wow, I really thought this was going a different way.
It's that moment in the conversation when they're, you know, you're, like, talking. And then they're like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend totally loves that movie.
Yeah, that moment. You're like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, cool.
Your girlfriend. Yeah, like she lives in California.
Yeah. I mean, that's not how it happened. It was really someone being like, you know, he has a girlfriend, right? I mean,
oh,
being like,
that's even worse. Oh, no.
Heartbroken.
Heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super. And it was like the person who told me it was like not, it was like an embarrassing way.
Wow.
Yeah. But also, like, even that, what you're saying, where they're like saying, where they drop that in, like, my girlfriend into the conversation, it's also that, like, when you have a friend who's, like, really cute, where you're chatting with someone, you think they like you, and they're like, hey, do you think that your friend might be interested in me? Like, constant. That's, like, such a thing. This song's music video was directed by Trey Fanjoy, who also directed the Tim McGraw, Our Song, Picture to Burn, White Horse, and Love Story music videos.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. This video features Taylor as she sees her love interest develop a relationship with another girl.
No.
Tyler Hilton, who played Chris Keller on the TV show One Tree Hill, played the love interest in this music video. Extras in the high school hallway scenes included some of Taylor's high school friends, her cousin, and even her brother, Austin.
Oh, fun.
Who I wasn't able to find. I was looking for him, but he could just be in the background of one of the high school hallway scenes. It's a sweet music video, a little corny with the classic country, like, intercut singing scenes. So, like, you see what's going on in the school where she has, like crush eyes looking at him, talking to him. He's telling her about the other girl. And then she's singing, lying in her bed in her gown and full-on makeup with her guitar.
Dream Taylor.
It's, like, so classic country music video, especially of the era.
Yeah.
So a little cheesy, but I really love that green gown that she wears in this video. It's still something I love.
Yeah.
And her eyes look really gorgeous throughout.
Indeed.
Yeah. What do you think of the music video?
Yeah. You this music video is country.
Yeah.
It has, like, the soft lens focus that of, like, the Faith Hills and, you know, Shania Twain music videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. You have the school scenes, like you said, they're just so goofy and awkward. And then you have it juxtaposed with the ridiculously made-up Taylor in bed hugging her guitar. There's just zero worlds in which Drew would not be attracted to the Taylor that is lying in the bed.
Yeah.
Like, she's got perfectly curled hair. She has jewels on her cheek. She's got shiny lip gloss on the lips. It's just so funny to me that, like, and even the Taylor that's in school has, like, meticulous makeup as well.
Yeah.
And even behind, like, the goggles, you can see, you know, like, the eyeshadow and, like, the eyeliner and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, there is, and he looks like such a total doofus the whole music video.
No, he's cute.
Oh, my God. When that last scene where she's walking down, he's walking down, and she thinks that she's looking at him, but he walks past and goes to the girl. He's wearing, like, this ridiculous, like, oversized dress shirt and, like, baggy jeans, and his hair is all
but that
weird.
Was the style of the time.
So,
I'm sure you dressed like that,
so
too.
So good. I totally did. And I looked like a goof.
Yeah.
You know? No one was writing songs about me. All right?
You don't know that.
Actually, that's true. The juxtaposition is just insane. And just the fact that she's just lying on this bed the whole time, caressing her guitar and singing is so funny. But then she stands up, and there's this fireplace behind her.
Yeah.
And I found the Latin on the fireplace was Litera Scripta Manet, which translates to the written letter remains.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Interesting. So this song is what remains of their relationship, maybe.
Or whatever place they used that was just above the fireplace. It might be a library or something or whatever.
That's funny. And I think it also, it might have been a library. I think it was too early in Taylor's life for Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Because especially with Trey Fanjoy's music videos, not a lot of Easter eggs.
No. So I just thought that was interesting. And then also, if you watch the YouTube video with subtitles, between the first chorus and the second verse, there's the subtitle says, "Gentle, wistful music continues."
That's really funny.
It's gentle and wistful.
Oh, that's very funny.
I thought that was very funny, too. So, ridiculous music video. It's just so ridiculous. Like, and then, like, towards the very end, you have the one shot with, like, the one tear coming down her cheek. You know, like, ridiculous. I'm like,
they nailed that tear.
Nailed it. So, goofy.
One of these days, I'm going to put on a gown and just lie in our bed strumming your guitar.
I think that on our music video ranking, I think I ranked this pretty low compared to her other ones.
Yeah.
So
she has so many good music videos. This isn't one of them. No, it's just not. She looks beautiful in it. She looks beautiful in everything.
But I think the boy got an extra point because he looks so goofy.
You like his goofy hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is so funny.
Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
Teardrops on My Guitar is based on a true experience of Taylor's while in high school when she had a crush on a boy she was friends with who would confide in her about a girl he wanted to date.
Oh.
The boy was indeed named Drew.
Wow.
This was Drew Hardwick, not to be confused with Drew Dunlap, who Taylor actually dated.
Oh.
Which is a little confusing. There are multiple Drews in her life. 2 years after the album's release, as Taylor was leaving her house, Hardwick appeared in her driveway. A car parked, and Hardwick and a friend of his came out of it. After 2.5 years of not speaking, Taylor said that he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And she was like, "Wow, you're late. Good to see you." Taylor had multiple theories as to why he appeared at her house. One of them was that he was attempting to prove to his friend that he was indeed the subject of the song.
Mm-hmm.
The other was that he wanted to rebuild their friendship or believe that Taylor was still pining away for him. Which I feel like that would do a lot for your ego.
Yeah.
Don't you think? If Taylor wrote a song about, like, unrequited love about you?
For sure.
Taylor said it would have been poetic if he had approached her upon the album's release and she would have accepted. But by 2 years later, she had already moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
She'd already, like, started touring and stuff by then. Taylor cited Teardrops on My Guitar as an example of how she expresses her feelings in songs and sometimes in no other manner.
Mm.
Like, she gets the feeling out and then it's done.
Yep.
In an interview with HMV Magazine, Taylor revealed what happened when Drew realized the song was about him. She said, "I remember reading on his MySpace one time, 'My name's Drew and I have a famous song written about me. Email me and I'll give you details.'" What? Yeah. She said, "I was like, right, wow, note taken."
Oof.
Yeah, he's a bit of a piece of work. But, like, I will say, if I wasn't famous and Taylor wrote a song about me that became hugely famous, like, I feel like that would do a lot for the confidence.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't pursue her right away.
Well, I guess she dodged a bullet there.
It's true. He's not a great guy. He might have been in a relationship.
Could have been.
Apparently, he dated the girl he confided in Taylor about for a few years.
Okay.
Okay, Devin, what's your favorite line in Teardrops?
The one I have already said, "The only one who's got enough of me to break my heart."
Yeah, I love that.
So good. So good. Yeah, what's yours?
I love, "He says he's so in love. He's finally got it right. I wonder if he knows he's all I think about at night."
Mm.
And the way it's sung, it's so emotional.
Yeah.
Ugh, so good.
So good.
Okay, Dev,
mm-hmm.
From 1 to 10 Teardrops on My Guitar, what do you give this song?
I think with everything, you know, the context of when it was written, the place in her discography, how important this song is to her trajectory, the absolute, like, famousness of the song and like, how many people know it and where it was in the zeitgeist when it first came out, I think I'm going to give it 9 Teardrops on My Guitar.
Wow.
I think that it is just a brilliant song, and that for what it is and where it came from, like, I think it was a perfect first song first couple of songs for her to have.
Yeah.
It just skyrocketed her into stardom, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I totally agree with you.
And I think it is a brilliantly crafted song.
Yeah, definitely.
Gab, what about you? From 1 to 10 Teardrops on My Guitar?
Totally agree with everything you just said, but I think I am going to give it 8 Teardrops on My Guitar for all the same reasons. I mean, just, yeah, such a well-crafted song, really stands the test of time. The 8 is just simply because it's not as high up in my personal favorites. So it's just a personal thing. But such a good song.
So good.
Listen along with us. Check us out on Instagram at Tay to Z Podcast and give us all your thoughts. Do you have a Drew in your life?
Are there any teardrops on your guitar?
Do you remember where you were when you first heard this song?
Yeah.
And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TayToZPodcast.
Yes, and thank you as always to our patrons. You are the absolute best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, next episode we'll be covering Is It Over Now? From 1989, Taylor's version from The Vault.
A new Gossip Gab fave.
Ooh.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.